And it's time for part two of our conversation on the latest digital craze, something called NFTs. And if you're like me, you're like, what? Well, the conversation, Savannah Harriman-Pote picks up the story.
Okay, a little vocabulary at the top. NFT stands for non-fungible token. They're basically a certificate of ownership for a piece of digital media, and they've been in the news a ton lately. Yesterday, we spoke to Bert Lum of Bite Marks Cafe, who gave us a great overview of how NFTs operate. Go back and have a listen if you want all the details, but here's the key takeaway that we're going to talk about today. Why would someone pay money, sometimes thousands or even millions of dollars, to purchase an NFT for a piece of art that exists only digitally and that you can probably access for free anyway? This is the question that Reed Austin has been asking himself since NFTs hit the scene. He's an illustrator and printmaker from Big Island, now based in Portland.
I'm super not that into it, in layman's terms. I've been trying really hard to justify the purchase of something that's just a file on my computer, and I can't bring myself to it. It just doesn't sit right in my stomach. I can understand why people would find it appealing, especially I could see it being something popular with younger generations who are more normalized to technology and the digital age. And I know there's going to be a crowd for everything, but yeah, it's just a physical piece of art to me holds so much more value than a digital file. Of course, this is just my opinion, and in the art world, all opinions are totally subjective.
So yes, Reed is right. His opinion is subjective. But I think his opinion is representative of how a lot of people feel about NFTs. So to get to the other side of this issue, I wanted to talk to someone who had firsthand experience in this brave new world. And lucky for me, the renowned digital artist and muralist Kamea Hadar just put up his first NFT for auction last week. His digital artwork, Eevee, was posted for one day on an online auction platform called Foundation.
I personally didn't enjoy the 24 hours because, you know, auctions like that, live auctions, are kind of an artist's nightmare because you're just kind of really, really putting yourself out there in the public sphere, and it hurts.
If you could just kind of walk me through what the process was like putting up your first NFT for auction, just from the top.
So I first heard about NFTs maybe a few months ago. Slowly, I got more and more interested in it. Actually creating the NFT, the process is called minting an NFT. So, I mean, that process took maybe like 10 minutes. You know, most of the time that it took me was just researching, learning, getting many, many different people's opinions on whether or not it was worth it, advertising the NFT, bundling the NFT with actually physical artwork to make it more appealing for buyers, you know, sending out mailers, explaining to people who were interested in it how to get it, and then also acquiring the crypto and the crypto wallet and all the different things that I needed in order to do it. So those things take a few days because you have to apply, prove that it's you, and then order some crypto in order to have some money in your wallet to pay for gas fees. The gas fees are the amount of energy that you're using on the blockchain. So, you know, when you mint something, it takes energy, or it takes, you know, bandwidth, let's say. And you have to pay like a fee every time you transact.
How significant would you say that fee is? Did you feel like it was a deterrent at all?
It was maybe like $100. And I would say that it depends on what you're selling. I mean, I was hoping to sell my NFT for more than that, so I felt like it was worth it. But if you're making a lot of transactions and you're selling things that are under $100, then it's a losing endeavor. So, and also the thing about the gas fees is it goes up and down according to how many users are on the blockchain at the moment. So it's kind of like an Uber surge fee. when Uber is being used by a lot of users, like on New Year's Eve, price goes up because there's a higher demand. So it's the same thing. And people were kind of telling me that I should mint my artwork at a certain off time so it'd be cheaper. But I wanted to mint it at a time where people are awake would bid on it. So I did it at 10 a.m. Hawaii time because that would mean that it would be 1 p.m. West Coast and 4 p.m. East Coast. So I felt like at least most of the country would be awake. And so I paid a little bit of a higher gas fee in order to do it at that time.
So after that whole process, Kamea walked away with about $2,700.
For me, that much lower than I get for physical paintings. To me, it was more just about the learning experience and just kind of seeing the response and just learning about the process. Right now, the main thing about NFTs is that most people don't know how to mint it themselves or even have a marketplace that could support the sale of an NFT. So right now, all of the artists are very much dependent on these marketplaces like Foundation. That being said, I think in the future, what it'll be like, how websites used to be, you know, websites used to be this really daunting thing and complicated thing, and you needed some crazy computer guy to help you create it, and then, you know, he would create a market, you know, a button in your website where you could sell things, and then to get the money would be hard. And nowadays, you can get a website template in seconds, and you can input a Shopify button into your website, and you can start selling your own things really quickly. So I think in the future, it'll very much be an easy thing for artists to mint and sell their own NFTs without these marketplaces. But again, going back to what I said before, it was definitely worth it. And anytime that I can make any money, I'm happy. I'm sure you've probably talked to people about all the secondary markets, right?
That was the question I was going to ask. These appreciate in value, and if I understand correctly, there's a little bit of a kickback for the artist.
Yeah, so the artist gets a percentage every time the work is resold, 10% of every sale, which is something that doesn't exist in the real world. Once I sell you a painting for $5 and you turn around and sell it for $500 million, that's all yours. You know, I don't get any of that. But in the NFT world, I get a percentage. That's nice as an artist. And then a lot of artists, they're arguing that this is going to take the power out of the galleries and put it into our hands. I don't know if I see it that way. I mean, like I said, right now we're still very dependent on the marketplaces. And, you know, you're still selling something, so you're still dependent on, you know, what people are willing to pay, you know. So I don't know if I see it that way. I think it's just another form of art and thus another full revenue stream for artists. Hopefully it's going to develop and be something that is a new form of art, you know, not just a digital copy, but literally another form of art.
We are at a disadvantage when we speak to visual artists because we are an audio-first medium. And so I just want you to, in your own words, give a little bit more of a description of Eevee.
Yeah.
To kind of create a picture in our listeners' minds.
So Eevee is a portrait of a female figure of a bust. Her skin is white and she's looking down, so you can't actually see her eyes. You just see her big eyelashes. And she's wearing a headdress of Hawaiian flowers. So all the flowers are actually black. Her face, her eyes and nose and mouth kind of have what looks like a Dia de los Muertos type of coloring. So she has black around her eyes and black around her nose. It kind of, and what looks like kind of the black lines on her lips that make, you know, in the Mexican Day of the Dead, they kind of have that makeup that looks like a skull. And the image in general, the composition is very similar to the composition of my album cover for the band The Green and of their acoustic album entitled Black and White. So another thing about my NFT is I made sure that it was an image that exists only in the digital realm at this moment in time. So what it is it's a digital mashup of a few different oil paintings. And then I digitally worked on the image. So the image itself, in its entirety, is it doesn't exist on canvas. There's just bits and pieces from different paintings of mine that I mashed up to create the image. So right now, the NFT is very much unique.
I don't want this to come across as dismissive in any way to your work.
Right.
But I did look at Foundation's platform and your auction posting as the bids were going on, and it has the image, Eevee, the image that is being auctioned, so people can see it and decide upon whether or not they want to bid on it. I mean, I could take a screenshot of that image from its auction listing.
Right. There is a part of me that definitely agrees with you in as far as the NFT world, right? So you're saying, what's the difference, right? And I guess the difference is mostly inside of the collector's mind and heart, right? So if the collector says, it matters to me that I have the NFT that Kamea created, and it matters to me that I can prove that Kamea created it and that it's the only NFT. And other people are like, well, I don't really care about that. I just care that I have a nice high-res image of it. You know, it's mainly in the mind and heart of the collector, right?
Okay, this is the last piece of the puzzle. How can we get into the head of a collector? Enter Preston.
Preston Ha'o. I am a production coordinator and designer at Fitted Hawaii.
Preston is a lifelong collector of all kinds of things.
Started with, you know, Pokemon cards or baseball cards. You know, as years went by, kind of went to a little bit more materialistic thing. Shoes, hats, and then like toys or figures. As of late, coffee table books, Aloha shirts. All of that from starting from a young kid. In a way, it was kind of like collecting pieces of art. And that's, I guess, started it.
Preston already owns a couple of NFTs, and he's in the market for more. He had the second highest bid on Kamea's Eevee.
Even with Kamea's piece, I'll be honest, like 2 days later, I kind of regret not bidding higher, even though that might sound crazy.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the little back and forth you had with that other bidder.
Yeah, and it's I find value in his work as an artist. You know, right off the bat, I admire and appreciate his talent. And with this specific piece, there's also the connection of the Green Band, their acoustic album of Black and White. I don't know if you knew about that.
Mm-hmm. Kamea mentioned it, yes.
Yeah, so for me personally as well, it added another layer because the Green is one of my favorite bands. And, you know, I'll be honest, like, they have been a soundtrack to some key partial chapters of my life. And, you know, that's another added value. It's those kinds of stories that build into wanting to acquire something.
Is there any way in which this image is delivered to you, like in your inbox, or do you download a file, or do you have access to the image the same way we do, but then also on the blockchain is the identification that you own that NFT?
Oh, yeah. So it's received, well, once I claim it, it's in my wallet. I have access to the original copy, dimensions, whatever. And also for certain artists, there are, you know, possible unlockable content. You click on the artwork, you have access to certain files. Like, for example, I own an artwork that incorporates sound. I am able to receive the full original soundtrack of that piece.
Wow. So,
and that's just one example as well. I've seen one where there's a girl, she posted her artwork and she's like, this really means something to me. And whoever acquires this piece of artwork will get the full description of what it really means to me. And they have the power whether or not to share that with others or keep it as a secret for the owner. There's some where they actually send the Photoshop file where you're buying a blank white block. And the artist is saying, you can purchase this
and you can have the Photoshop file. And once you open it, you can remove the white block and see what the artwork is behind it. You know, so like there's all these different types of layers, and sometimes it can be wacky, or it's just an added layer to, you know, creators in general. And it can be, you know, pretty gnarly if you really think about it. You know, it's been on the news, it's being made fun of, and it's an extreme hot topic as of right now. And I just think that artists should at least just get their feet wet, just for them to understand. And in order to understand, sometimes you just have to do it. I really think that in the future, it's going to be part of it, whether we like it or not, with NFTs.
After talking to Kamea and Preston, I'll admit, I was on board. I was really inspired by the potential of NFTs as a new way for artists to support themselves, and also as a whole other realm of art. So I called up Reed Austin again and told him everything I'd learned.
If I were to focus more on the kind of experimental pieces that you were talking about earlier, how they really kind of take advantage of a digital medium, then I'm super into that. I think that's really cool.
Do you think you're going to make an NFT?
No, never. Maybe not never, but definitely not for the foreseeable future. I know probably in like a couple months even, but definitely in a couple years, I'll probably regret saying no, but honestly, no. I'll probably look back on this and be like, oh man, I messed up.
Each to their own, it seems. Mahalo to Kamea Hadar, Reed Austin, and Preston Ha'o for talking to us for this story. We'll have links on our website to their work. So what do you think? Are you convinced? If you rush out to buy an NFT, we want to hear about it. Give us a call on our talkback line. You know the one, 808-792-8217.